Welcome back to the Jump Around on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. Jim Rutledge and Riley Yauch with you. We are now joined by the famous Ben Brust. And Ben, honestly, the first question I have for you today, what do you think of the jerseys for Badger football that came out today? The Culver's patch is on it, which if you're going to have a brand on there, I don't think there's many other better options than Culver's. But they're interesting. I'm not saying I don't like them, but I have to see what they look like in person, too.
It looks like Rutgers is playing Navy was my first look at both of the jerseys, because Notre Dame has something unique as well, and it looks like we're going to see the triple option from Notre Dame slash Navy, and then I guess if the Badgers played like Rutgers, that would be on par with what we've seen.
Improvement, possibly. So.
So you're out on the chrome, Ben, is what I'm hearing.
I mean, look, Sean Ikor said they have that Wisconsin has swag too. I don't care what the jerseys look like as long as you win. The jerseys become cool no matter what if you win. Even if Oregon has ugly jerseys, they're still cool because they win.
Right. And so, Ben, actually, we talked about this the other day. And we said that the last time Badger football had swag was 2017. They won the Orange Bowl, right? That was the year. They won the Orange Bowl. They had Taylor. Defense was really good. And a school like Wisconsin especially, because we don't have awesome uniforms, we don't have a lot of players who bring a lot of swag. Like, winning is the prerequisite for any sort of swag at Wisconsin. So right now, Badger football has no swag.
I would make an argument that swag isn't just aesthetics, as you guys are mentioning, as well. There is performance in 2017, obviously.
Yep.
But when I think of swag, I think of Bielema running up the score.
Yes.
Like, swag doesn't necessarily have to be how you look, but how you perform, and then how you look becomes cool because of what you're putting on the football field. So on the note of swag, let me just say this. I did a jersey trade with Matt Hamilton, who, when he had won the Olympic gold medal, he gave me like one of the, I don't even know what he calls it. It's just like a t-shirt that says USA and Hamilton on the back.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I got like ripped off. Only because I didn't get that much swag. Like, the box that I got, this was before they started doing a bunch of different jerseys, and now they have the players making jerseys. So, like, I don't have that many jerseys. I have the traditional red and white home and road. And those were, I think, the same jerseys my entire 4 years at Wisconsin. My junior year, we did one special, like, white-on-white numbers and white Badger logo shorts. And then in my senior year, when we went to the Final Four, we did have different uniforms for that NCAA tournament run. So I like, have two framed, the Final Four jersey and my senior day jersey. I think I only have, like, two other jerseys, because I've given away the others to, like, family and Matt Hamilton, of all people. So, I got the short end of the stick here. I'm not going to lie.
Ben, do
so
you wear...
Also, I'm jealous of the fact that they have jerseys, even if they're unique.
Yeah.
But at least we were winning.
Yes. Well, so I was going to ask, basketball. Like, there was definitely some players. I think Blackwell and Boyd had it last year. I think, like, Bronson had it. Gosser had it. I'm not sure if you had it, Ben, but like, I think Frank had it because he was just himself. Like, Frank's like, and there's swag.
Are you talking
to like
about swag?
Yeah, yeah. Just because I think there's also
saying Gosser has swag is really
But here's why. It's just more of like confidence, talent, and winning like can provide that swag.
So I had no confidence, talent, or winning.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So here's the way I look at it as well. Here's how you know we didn't have swag, is because our jerseys. I mean, so Frank developed it when he was National Player of the Year, because then like Bo loosened up. Like, it used to be like shoes, socks, shorts. You couldn't have anything like long legs, like tights or elbow pads or whatever. After 2014, if you go look at games from 2014 and what we looked like in the Final Four to what they wore in like shoes and style, even in 2015, completely different. So the only thing that I did differently my entire career was when we got the new uniforms to play in the NCAA tournament my senior year, I rolled the shorts so they weren't as long as I've worn my shorts my entire career. So I had the tag of my jersey on my shorts sticking out of the back, and you could tell that we were the rolled shorts Wisconsin Badgers with no swag.
Ben, you mentioned those jerseys that you still have that aren't framed. Do you ever wear those from time to time? Do you bust those out just to have on?
No, I think one time on a show.
Yeah.
Well, I did it in a bit sort of way, Jim, where I got hand, foot, and mouth in the from my daughter early on in her first year. Mm-hmm. So I did the show from the basement of my home, and that's where all my stuff was. And I was like, I'm just going to throw on a different piece of gear from this box every segment. Mm. And I ran out of stuff pretty quickly based off the conversation we just had. So that would be the only time. Trying to think, like, you know, I don't know if my daughters will want to, like, wear it as a joke. It could be funny. But, like, again, those jerseys are so damn long, they'll be tripping on them until they're teenagers.
Right. That's very true. Riley, would you wear your jersey if you were a player?
No, unless it was maybe, like, Halloween or something. You could just dress up as yourself. Like, you dress up as a player.
No, don't
see,
do that.
See, Riley,
I'd even go as far as saying this, boys. The Final Four ring that I have is, like, it's a cool ring. We won 30 games. My name is on it. It says Final Four. I think I've made a rule that I got to hit half a century, right? You got to hit like 50 years old in order to like wear that at like public events and on your right ring finger. Because even going back for alumni things, like, it just feels douchey, you know? And also, I got to get some fake diamonds in it to make it look a little better than the quality that it is.
Okay, you mentioned the ring, and Barry, he is not afraid to wear his Rose Bowl
plus.
Ring everywhere.
Yeah.
So he's reached
50
that
plus
threshold.
And he's got a statue.
Yes.
And Barry has swag.
Exactly.
Yes.
But, Ben, going back to your time as a student athlete, when you were playing basketball and tying this into I-Corps, okay, just athlete, not much of a student. how much did you as a player ever interact with Barry? As with the administration in general, what did you look for as an athlete from your athletic director? Did you ever interact with them at all? What was that like?
It's a great question. You did, because when you traveled, there'd be a deputy AD that is associated with the program, you know, whatever you were playing in. I think they're usually in charge of 3 or 4 or 5 programs, depending on how many associate or deputy athletic directors there are. Home games, it was always cool. We had a big home game, and Barry came in the locker room and like would just dap everybody up. But I think like their presence was important. But at that time, we didn't really need an athletic director's presence because Bo Ryan was Bo Ryan. He's a Naismith Hall of Famer. So I don't think there was the need for somebody to be like around and not monitoring, but like just being around at all other than big moments, because we took care of business when we needed to. But one memory stands out is in the Bradley Center my senior year, when we came back to down 12 or 13 and a half against Oregon, at the end of the tunnel, Barry Alvarez was there, and getting a chance to hug him, and then Bo came by and they hugged as we head to Anaheim for the Sweet 16. Like, That's all you look for is a presence that you know is around, that is supporting you. That, you know, again, like, it's just different. I don't know what an athletic director should do and their involvement should do if you just suck. If you win four and eight, like, yeah, I'd probably, if my livelihood was depending on the football team being great, I'd probably be having my eyes on everything that's going on.
From, you know, obviously you're close with some of with the Badger basketball program. From your opinion, what can I-Corps do realistically to help the program? Because obviously Greg Gard has it to a very steady place. I don't think we hope that it's not plateaued, even though it is a pretty good steady place, that this Badger team is going to turn out a good winning product every year. What can I-Corps do with the Badger basketball program to help Gard maybe take a little bit more of and raise that plateau and raise the level just a little bit higher? So I think Gard's doing everything he possibly can along with the staff.
You know, that's a great question, but I think what's most important to note here is when you look at And then I don't know if you got to this in the program at all, but when you see from Mike Lucas a quote from Mark Johnson, who's won 9 titles and 702 wins in his career, talk about the hiring of Eichhorst. He's a new shepherd. Our sheep are scattered, and now we have a shepherd who's going to bring them together. It's a breath of fresh air. I think if that is the message from someone who's been a very long time Badger from when he went to college to coming back to the school to drive success, is saying something like that, that probably echoes throughout many people who have been at the University of Wisconsin, whether they say it or not. So I think that's just encouraging to me that they're working on getting connective tissue between communication of athletic director, coaching staff, making sure that there's a line of communication open to talk about what we need to be successful. If that is money, if that is a upgrade here, an upgrade there, or whatever is needed, right? Like, that needs to be number one because, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, how you look at it, the college landscape is just turned into getting more wild and wild and wild of money being spent. So if conversations are being had that weren't being had for programs like basketball and hockey and volleyball, despite the success that they had, your hope is that it grows naturally with new leadership and the excitement that you're hearing from someone who I trust in Mark Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Ben, looking ahead, maybe 5
What's
years.
What's so painful?
I know.
Riley.
You are
I'm just trying to think of how to properly phrase this question. Looking ahead 5 years, what does the basketball program need to look like for you to say that Sean Eichhorst has done his job as the athletic director properly shepherding, as you mentioned, the Mark Johnson quote, the University of Wisconsin's basketball program? What do they need to look like in 5 years?
You know, I understand where you're going here, but like, honestly, I don't think Sean Eichhorst needs to do that much other than support as much as he can from a fundraising standpoint, and then it's up to the coaching staff to pick the right players and break through in the moment that they've been knocking on. This ultimately all comes back to football. Like, it does, and that's from a basketball player, as someone who loved playing there. The way I identify in conversations in everyday life with people when you travel and, like, go to different states and just find common ground about people that are sports fans is football. It's just such a massive sport that, like, having conversations about your football team, being proud of that and talking about how, yeah, they were this and it changed to this, and, you know, I'm so glad to be able to, you know, just, like, have confidence talking to people about the product that's out there, because Wisconsin football is the revenue generator, and if you generate revenue for football, you're going to generate revenue for other sports naturally. And if you have success already, again, what can you do to continue to grow that? Because just because you have it now doesn't mean it's going to be there forever. So you need football to continue to be great to make sure that those other sports continue to thrive. But, yeah, I mean, like, the question is about what do I need from basketball. Basketball will get there with financial support, I believe. Yep. But most importantly, in order to get financial support, you need a winning football product so you can make revenues in bowl games and playoffs. And I even say in bowl games because I don't want that just to be the standard of how does Luke Fickell get to a bowl game. No, it's like win 8 games and show us why we paid you $8 million in year 4 to be the head coach.
And actually, to that point, and I said this earlier because – look, we are attaching ourselves to a new AD because Barry Alvarez was the AD for a while, same with Mac, and they were names that we knew. But the best programs that you think about, it's not the AD who's the face of the program. 9 times out of 10, outside of a few basketball schools, it's the football coach. So that's
You name the Indiana athletic director?
No, exactly. And so
but do you know who wrote the big check?
Yes. Well, obviously, the right person that writes the person that writes the big check is important, too. But I think for football, this year has to be the year that we decide, is Luke Fickell the guy? Which also means you got to win. He has to become the face of the program in general.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that number? You said 8. I said that the worst-case scenario for the Badgers is 6 wins. I want either 8 or 5, because then you're making a decision either way. That's kind of where I live.
I think 6, you can still make a decision.
Probably.
I would agree.
6, and I think you can still make that decision.
I would make that decision. Like, right. I'm just trying to think, like,
you have an argument at 7, too, because that means you lost to UCLA, probably, and you didn't beat anyone of note.
Yep.
Correct. And You could, but also there's a part of this that if you beat anybody of note, but then someone that you're like maybe thinking is a win on the schedule that gets you as well, and you still get to 7-5. It's like you also got to take care of the bad teams. Like part of becoming a good team is like taking care of business, and so there needs to be a level of like showing that. And maybe I'm living in a fantasy world, but the last two times they played Iowa, haven't both Iowa games been straight blowouts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Blowouts.
Even worse, like, they spent all so last offseason being like, we're not going to get blown out. We're doing extra push-ups for how many points we lost
42.
By. And then they
Iowa
got their
42.
Ass kicked even worse.
Yeah, so it's like even if they compete and lose, it's like, all right, well, what does that matter, right? Mm. Like that's three straight losses against the program. I can't be judging a coach in year four about getting closer to Iowa. Right, especially how quickly you can turn around football programs in today's landscape. So, win, and like if you're Luke Fickell, you just have to do everything to leave no doubt that you should be the guy. Because if there's any doubt, then you with a new AD, that's not a spot you want to be.
Ben, awesome stuff. Ben Bruss joins us on the Yuengling Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. Thanks for taking time to catch up with
us. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, y'all.